This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
From NFL Network in Los Angeles, we're pleased to welcome Cynthia Freeland. And Cynthia, I want to dive right in so we can make sure we get to all of the games that we've seen so far. Wild card weekend. I don't know. Maybe you've got one, but it's going to blow me away if you do. Some type of statistic, some type of odds or number that would indicate we've seen this kind of finish in Dallas before, or the chances that we would see this finish between Niners and Cowboys.
Yeah, that one was, I don't know if anyone has any numbers on that one. There are some things to note about, like, the last few minutes with the clock management and some of the decisions, but that was highly improbable. But they had beaten themselves up earlier in the game so much with those 14 penalties and all of the, like, strange mismanagement of, you know, they did that fake punt that was actually a pass, and like, which was a good move, but then they were so disjointed after that they totally blew the clock on that one.
I would agree with you. It seems like everything else in that game for Dallas has to be put inside the frame of shooting yourselves in your own feet with the constant flags, how many holding penalties on both sides of the ball, the pre-snap penalties over and over. You point out the fake punt only to have a delay of game. Just seemed like that was the main story of the game, as much as people will focus on the clock running out and that bizarre ending.
Yeah, the penalties were actually the beginning of the game, it was all about penalties. That first half, the difference in penalty yards told almost everything you need to know. The fact that they got back in it in the end was a credit to them, but sheesh, like, you know, without those turnovers at the end, that game would have been much different and it would have been their own fault. They gave up yards and yards and yards of penalties.
The Niners obviously have been able to play their best football over this last 10-game stretch where they're 8-2 now, winning this game on the road. And I love their formula. To me, it feels like old Smash Mouth football, Cynthia, where you cannot beat them if you can't get the ball away from them. And they're so good at controlling the line of scrimmage. And once again, that really stands out in this matchup against Dallas.
Yeah, that was a major point of emphasis. I mean, look, Debo Samuel, like, they didn't have an answer for him. Like, I saw Micah Parsons, neutral zone infraction, and that was in part because they were trying to have an answer for Debo. I actually don't really blame Micah for that. It was not one of their sloppier penalties. That one was one that was actually like, okay, I can kind of understand it. But they didn't have an answer for Debo. Really, they were giving them a lot of the same look, just mixing up who was in which formation. The Niners weren't even showing them any of their best stuff. I track every single play from every single game. And the Niners were just basically running the same play over and over again. I mean, there were a few different options on the play each time, but like, they didn't do much there. The simplicity of it was what made it so brilliant.
As you've looked back over what the Niners have done on this stretch where they've gone 8-2 and of course got into the playoffs in their last game and now win on the road in the postseason, what jumps out about this very simple formula?
Well, the offense is really simple, but the defense is actually, the thing they're doing is really interesting. They're getting pressure without blitzing. So they only can bring four rushers, which means they can drop back in coverage. And then what's happening is they're either getting a significant pressure, so one that results in, you know, a thrown away ball, a sack, something where you're not advancing the ball or you're not advancing the ball enough to stay kind of ahead of the downs, right? The downs and distances. So what's happening there is they're taking risks. Now, you can beat them. That's how the Rams came out in that last game in the first half in week 18. And they came and they started off really strong because they were challenging them to rush the ball and then beating them in coverage. But then, unfortunately, that defense adapted and then Sean McVay did not. So in this game, they didn't have to adapt. But once the Niners get out to lead against any team, it's going to be hard for them to beat them. It's just they're a very hard time of possession type of team, but their defense is beatable with that. So what they're doing is they're taking high risk, and this game, it totally paid off.
Hmm. It seems like the one time that, I guess it jumps out at me, that Dak was able to beat the coverage was when they brought more than just the front four.
Yep.
And there was man-on-man back into the end zone, and he was able to go deep over the top to Amari Cooper. Otherwise, San Francisco was able to get pressure on Dak just by staying home.
Exactly. And interestingly enough, I had Dak made some, like, there were some interesting play calls, and it wasn't necessarily Dak's decision making. It was more like some of the play design was very confusing. I don't understand why they didn't put Tony Pollard in earlier, why the things that worked for them, then, like, they would work and then they would abandon those principles, or they would, you know, go in a different direction that was kind of based on different sort of rhythm. So it was an interesting game from that standpoint too. So this was not a good outing for the Cowboys, like, at all. Like, it was messy.
It definitely was. Cynthia Freeland is busy charting all kinds of numbers and plays and win and loss probabilities from Sunday's wild card games. And she's with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So the game between Pittsburgh and Kansas City is one that started so slowly. First points of the game come with TJ Watt and a fumble recovery on defense. And then, boom, all of a sudden, oh my goodness, it's almost like you can see the Chiefs flip a switch, Cynthia.
How crazy was that? In the beginning of the game, the Pittsburgh defense had a good game plan for taking away kind of the things Patrick Mahomes wanted to do. Meaning, he didn't, you know, Patrick Mahomes doesn't want to check the ball down. He doesn't want to look for his third option, second option. And they took away his first option. And he was kind of trying to make it happen. And then once he started, you know, taking those check downs or those shorter passes or those kind of run plays or short passes that are designed run screens, et cetera, then the other bigger stuff opened up. And then you saw that happen to close out. Then the game got out of reach. But, like, you know, essentially in the beginning, they did shut down. They did a good job of getting pressure and shut enough to shut down the things that Patrick was looking to do. Tyreek, Travis, those things.
Every time I watch the Chiefs go turbo, as I call it, which is when they just all of a sudden, they look like a freight train and they can pile up points in no time flat, it is exceptional the speed that they have on the field, not just Tyreek Hill, but I know that you were tweeting about Travis Kelce's speed, even for a man his size, the fact that he can find some space and then accelerate. It's amazing to watch these guys work in space.
Yeah, I mean, Travis Kelce had his number one and number two fastest individual plays for the season in this past game. And you don't reach your top speed unless two things happen. Number one, you got to run for a little bit. It can't be like a, you know, catch in the end zone, right? And number two, you have to have space so no one touches you. So all of this, like, ahead of the game, any receiver who had lined up in the slot, the Steelers gave up the fourth highest completion percentage. This is before the game started, even in the entire league, fourth highest completion percentage to slot receivers. Well, Travis Kelce, his first five targets were all out of the slot. All of them were receptions, and they had no answer. There was no, the space didn't work out. They didn't have the arsenal to slow that down.
Cynthia Freeland of NFL Network with us here helping us look at Wild Card Weekend through a different lens. We love when she brings the numbers and the next-gen stats. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. So the first game on Sunday, it always impresses me the way that Tom Brady can take guys that maybe haven't had a whole lot of snaps or many reps on the field and yet turn them into world beaters. And we saw that again with so many players missing for the Bucs, and yet it's next man up always with them.
I'm not discounting anything the Eagles were doing, but when your defense is on the field for that long, they're going to get tired. So Tom Brady didn't even take a deep pass in the first half. Didn't take a deep attempt in the first half, right? He had like three intermediate attempts, and two of them were hauled in. The rest were under 10 air yard attempts. So these are short passes to begin with. And that's smart because it gets people in rhythm. Now, those deep passes, you're going to need those when you get further in this tournament, right? Like against the next opponent, there's going to be deep passes are going to be the thing that makes it happen. So when I'm looking at this one, and obviously Monday night determines who that opponent is, but when I'm looking at this one, I'm like, okay, next man up is great, but that is a source of concern because is it, you know, are they going to be able to consistently run without Leonard Fournette or who, like that was a surprise sort of last minute scratch. It seems like that could be okay. And there was a lot of their O-line. I mean, losing their right tackle, Tristan Wirfs, like if he doesn't come back, like that's the thing. So There's a few things that are question marks because there's only so much next man. Maybe for wide receivers, Tom Brady can make a next man up, but for a right tackle, it's going to be a lot harder.
Mm. They did rush for over 100 yards, and you point out that offensive line has been so good, though it lost two guys. Brady saw a little more pressure late in the game, but I also think when you use those short passes, Cynthia, you end up simulating a bit of a run game, if that makes sense, meaning you're getting rid of the ball quickly so that the pass rush can't get to the quarterback.
Yeah, well, that's part of how Tom Brady stays out of pressure just always. However, like I said, you go further in that tournament. Let's say it's the Rams. That guy, Aaron Donald, he comes at you pretty quick. So especially those guys who line up on the interior like that, like it's just something to, I'm not suggesting that it's bad. I'm just, you know, or it's just something to watch because your O-line, that right tackle especially, I mean, I think you can ask the Chargers, they can tell you a little something about Max Crosby coming off that, you know, off their right tackle when they met up, you know, in week 18, but you know, it's going to matter. It's going to matter for Tom Brady going forward, too.
Mm. Cynthia Freeland with us here after hours, CBS Sports Radio. Okay, I need some numbers to give me framework and context for what Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase have done over the last month because they have been tearing up defenses.
Yeah, I mean, a pretty historic pace. Yeah, but the interesting part about what happened with Ja'Marr Chase more than just over the last month was, you know, he started off really strong and they have that chemistry from college together.
Right.
And then defenses started to be like, oh yeah, we actually have to account for this rookie. So he kind of had his like sophomore slump in the middle of this season and he worked it out to the tune of probably earning himself offensive rookie of the year. I'd be surprised if he doesn't win it at this point. And now in a playoff game, being able to diagnose, you know, the type of defense, and by the way, Casey Hayward for the Raiders is a very, very strong corner. So it's not like he was just lined up against people who were subpar competition, right? This is a guy who now Ja'Marr Chase has figured out kind of the way that corners work and how to operate and worked it out with his quarterback who, I mean, Joe Burrow should be talked about, I think, at the least comeback player of the year. And I don't think it's ridiculous to talk about him as the MVP as well.
Okay. So just out of curiosity, if you had to vote for comeback player of the year, would you go Burrow over Nick Bosa, who comes back from an ACL himself and has 15 and a half sacks for the Niners?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a strong option as well. Like, you know, Dak taking them to the playoffs and hosting a home playoff game. That one's one as well. I just have to say at the beginning of the season, I mean, look, the Niners are 2 years out of having been to a Super Bowl. And so it's not like it's expected, but that's a good team. I think everyone thought the Bengals were fourth in their division and for them to go from fourth to first like this and end up, you know, winning a playoff game. It's hard to argue that Joe Burrow that's not disproportionate value at the most valuable position. So the comeback situation feels bigger there. And I'm not taking anything away from Nick Bosa. It's just the perception ahead of the season of the Niners being a playoff, you know, playoff or more team, whereas the Bengals are kind of like, maybe another year out, maybe two.
It's clear, too, that Burrow has so many weapons at his disposal. It's amazing how much he can spread the ball around. It's not like you can just latch on to Ja'Marr Chase and make sure that you know where he is at all times. They've got a C.J. Uzama who really came on and can make some noise at the tight end position. And Joe Mixon has had a fantastic year as well.
And T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd has stepped up when he's been asked. Like,
yes.
They've got a lot of options. And their O-line is not good. So I know that, you know, they have this crazy offense. But Joe Burrow's succeeding in spite of a not good offensive line. It's not the worst in the league, but it's not the best. By any, like, it's not even average. So, that's even more, makes it even more impressive to me.
Is there a particular stat, or maybe it's just a characteristic of the Raiders that you'll remember about their run this season, even though it ended in Cincinnati?
Yeah, I mean, they had from start to finish, from week one through week 19 now, they had the highest pressure rate in the league from a defensive front. And this last game, they didn't have it, but if you average it out over the whole thing, like, they led from start to finish. And it wasn't just like one game where they got like some 10 sacks or 11 sacks, something crazy like that. It was start to finish. So, you know, that's super impressive. When you can get that defensive front, Max Crosby, you know, obviously highlights that unit, but when you can do that from start to finish, that's really impressive.
And that leaves us with the one game, and I on purpose left this one for the end because I remember that you were in Orchard Park. You were at the Bills preseason games, and I wonder what the difference in temperature was from when you were there. What was it, August, I guess you were there?
I had to cut off my sleeves because I was so hot. It was like the real feel was like 110 or something crazy. It was so hot. I drank like maybe 8 Gatorades, and I don't even like Gatorade. So I was so thirsty. It was crazy.
Would you prefer that and cutting off sleeves to wearing 17 layers and trying to protect all your skin with wind chills below zero like it was Saturday night?
I mean, I don't like being cold at all, but I would have really loved to be at that game. I mean, that's a special team. It's a special environment. I would have loved to see those fans. Like, those fans, like, they're just the best. They were so fun to be around and listen to, and they love their Bills, and it shows, and how crazy they are standing out there in that cold, but they're the kindest people. Like, just, I don't know. So I would have liked to go see it in the cold, even in the cold, because I feel like you would have gotten the real experience. And then I could go back to California where, you know, 60 is then cold.
Yes, Cynthia Freeland is with us from L.A., where she's obviously all over the playoffs. And as she says, week 19 now. It's been a long haul with NFL Network. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. So then thinking about that game, maybe the Bills' best offensive performance of the season. Definitely a complete game. I love that they saved it for this playoff game with the fans in the stands. What are some cool numbers from Josh Allen's amazing performance?
I mean, I think it's interesting. Like, look, his perfect passer rating was actually because of a short touchdown pass instead of a deeper one, whatever. Long story short, some stupid metric that messed up his perfect passer rating for the game that is like, it's so stupid. So that number is kind of garbage. But when I look to see the fact that, you know, it's really a credit to like his ability, Josh Allen's ability to figure out, like he got better as that game went on. Now, I mean, they started off strong, but it becomes easier once the score really gets away from you. But the turning point of that game when it went to be about a three score game, you know, Josh Allen was figuring out how to throw his receivers open into great coverage. J.C. Jackson is a great corner. Nothing to be taken away from him. Those balls were thrown really well. The game plan was executed perfectly. The receivers where they needed to be, and it just was placed perfectly. So it was kind of the perfect storm against the corner. There's not much you can do about that.
So that was a rematch in division, obviously, the third game between Bills and Patriots, all of them really different. And now we've got another rematch coming up on Monday night in Los Angeles. That is a place where you've been at SoFi Stadium. And so Cardinals and Rams, what are a couple of factors that you'll be looking at on Monday night?
Rams are without a couple of safeties, and they're already one of the areas you can target them is at the linebacker level. So the middle of their field is a little soft in terms of stopping, you know, passes or even runs that kind of are the responsibility of that linebacker safety sort of area. So that makes it where, you know, Zach Ertz could have a pretty big role on this game, and it could also mean that Kyler Murray's ability to scramble and run and be, you know, use his legs or James Conner if he's available for this game. You know, obviously those two. And I like their other running backs, but James Conner in specifically, because I think that's the kind of person that a linebacker would have a hard time, a replacement linebacker would have a harder time bringing down. So that one really sticks out to me. I'm interested to see how many snaps J.J. Watt will play. It's kind of been rumored that he's going to have some sub packages and some specific situations that he'll go in for. that could be kind of a problem too, because we've seen this Rams O-line have up and down performances and they kind of go the way their O-line goes. I saw a lot of things last week. I was at the San Francisco game, the San Francisco and Rams game in SoFi Stadium. I'm going to tell you, it was just as much red as it was blue. So I don't know how much red and blue there will be this time, but because I think Niners fans really do travel in mass, but that place is loud and crazy. And I don't care if I don't know if you get a home team advantage, that thing's just chaos. Like no matter what, it's super fun. Anyone should go to a game there if they can. But I think it's going to be interesting to see, like, the Cardinals came in here and won earlier this season. So that pressure on Matthew Stafford is going to be, like, physical pressure, not mental pressure. Physical pressure is going to be hard.
You can find Cynthia on Twitter at C Freeland, and she's got the data science covered for the NFL on NFL Network. And whether she works from home or works from studio, she always brings great joy and energy. And so, Cynthia, we're glad to have you with us. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I can't wait to see you in person, hopefully soon.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.